This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm Dave Kattenberg, and this is 12 Canadians Building a Better World from the Inside Out.
My name's Cindy Hansen, and I'm a professor of adult education at the University of Regina in the province of Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan is the place where the Prairie School for Union Women is held. And I think it's in its 18th or 19th year now. And I have never been a participant at the school, but I've always known about the school. And I've known a lot of women who have attended the school, both as facilitators and participants. And so I was often interested in it. So I'd always talk to people about it. And finally, one day I was walking down the street in Regina, and I ran into Adrienne Pavel, and we started talking about the Prairie School for Union Women.
My only claim to fame is that of all of the women who founded the Prairie School, I'm the last one who's still actively involved and has had an unbroken sort of connection with the school up to this point. Prairie School is for women from the four provinces, BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, that come together for a week in June up to Waskasu currently. Sessions that help us to be better women in the union. And I love it. And I would love to go there every year.
It's kind of like a visit to an intellectual or emotional spa, if you will. Because the day-to-day slogging is exhausting and in these times quite depressing often, and so it just kind of rekindles enthusiasm. I mean, that's my personal experience of the school, and I know that many people would say the same thing, that it's an opportunity just to sort of go, oh yeah, I do have some power and we can make a difference, and away you go.
Prairie School for Women, for me, is an empowering place to be. Those are when I'm feeling like I want to change the world. But then you come back to your own local and it's so frustrating.
All right, welcome to Prairie School for Union Women. We are in the beautiful resort of Waskasu, and it's beautiful. I know a lot of you have been here before. Fresh air and lots of walking, and you'll really enjoy yourself. I really, really believe that.
My name is Adrienne Pavel. I'm a labor educator, and I've been involved with the Prairie School for Union Women from its beginnings. And I've been fortunate enough to also attend just about every single school that's been run. I think I've missed two, but I've been at every other one, either as an on-site coordinator helping run the thing, or most frequently as a facilitator of one of the courses. We're sitting in the dining room of my house in Regina, Saskatchewan, where I've lived for the last 20 years. While I've lived in Regina, I've worked for Briar Patch magazine, but I've also had the opportunity to work for both the Grain Services Union and the Saskatchewan Government Employees Union. But I'm born and raised on a small Saskatchewan farm, and I guess I still think of myself first and foremost as a farm kid. The story, as I recall and understand it, is that some women in the labor movement here in Saskatchewan knew that women in the labor movement in other parts of Canada and the United States had been trying and succeeding with organizing women's only labor schools. So it would have been in about 19, well, this year was the 16th school, and we missed a year. So I'm thinking in around about 95, 96, a group of union women came together. The call went out through the Saskatchewan Federation of Labor. A meeting was called of women from any and all unions in the province to talk about could we create something like this school in Saskatchewan?
It really is a pleasure to be able to say a few words at this, the 16th annual Prairie School of Reading and Writing. What an accomplishment for the Saskatchewan Federation of Labor.
Yes.
One of the most innovative and groundbreaking educational events in the country. Last year, a new research study came out called Innovations, Opportunities, and Challenges, the story of the Prairie School for Union Women.
I think it's fair to say that out of all of the women who are responsible for the creation of the school, and it really was a collective effort, Barb Byers and Sharon Hurd would be the two who played a key role in sparking the idea and in bringing together that first gathering of women to say, we think this is a great idea, do you want to do this? And everybody who came together agreed that it was a great idea. And so from that point forward, it and for years and years after, the school, its operation, its design, its management was truly a very collective effort of a large group of women from a whole range of unions in Saskatchewan, and not just women who were on staff or in high elected office, rank and file women as well. So women volunteer to take part, and that's all that is required, is that they express an interest in doing it. So it's quite open to people being involved purely for the pleasure and their interest.
Hello, my name is Ina Kadjis. I'm the regional director in Saskatchewan for the Canadian Union of Public Employees. I was for 20 years a national representative, which means doing advocacy work for union members in the province. The Prairie School very much works on a popular education model. And that wasn't necessarily the case right off the top. I think we were still into talking heads, but not as participatory and empowering, I would suggest. I think I facilitated a couple of popular education courses, and definitely pay equity was a component of lots of the courses about developing women's strength or working to achieve women's equality. I co-facilitated a course which I think has now got the name Well-Behaved Women Rarely Make History. it sort of speaks for itself. We want people to be shit disturbers and troublemakers and push for their rights.
I'd like to take some time to introduce some people that are going to be working with you, working for you, and the facilitators that will be in the rooms, and you'll get to know them very well. So as I call your name, I'd ask that you please stand up. I'm going to start with what we call our rec staff, or we call them the wise women, a group of wonderful young women that have been with us for a few years, and they are so much fun. You guys will just love them. There's no doubt in my mind.
One of the courses that has been the most popular and most effective over the years is a course called Women Speaking Up, which is like public speaking, but set within the context of the trade union movement and of women's experiences. And I'll admit that when I first got involved with the Prairie School, I really didn't quite get why, as a feminist school, we were putting on a course on public speaking. I thought, I don't really think we need to do this for much longer. But the more that I hear from women who take that class about why they take it and what happens to them in the class, I think that it's fundamentally important and should never not be offered. There, in this day and age, in 2013, there are still far too many women who feel like their opinion doesn't matter, that they have no right to express it, that they can't express it effectively, that they shouldn't express it. And it's not that there aren't men out there within our movement who would think that that was terrible and be very supportive of women finding their voice, but I think there's nothing like being with a group of others in exactly the same circumstances and exactly the same identity to really understand that, in fact, we do have the power and we do have the right to have a voice, and together we're working on building that voice.
My name is Caroline Wilson. I am a library technician at Nutana Collegiate here in Saskatoon. They're like two blocks away. And my local is QP8443, which is the Saskatoon Public School Board. And I deal a lot with students. Our population at Nutana is probably 95% First Nation. And they're fabulous kids. And trying to get away to these union things is very difficult, but more so now because I'm the recording secretary. So, first time was 2005. I think I went to the first one. I think that's the year because it was the first year they held it at Waskasu. The one that I went to was Women on Turtle Island. And because I knew I was going to be dealing with a lot of First Nation people, and I wanted, you know, to know more about their story. I had taken a First Nation class through university with the Library Tech program, but I wanted to know more.
The truth is, there are many ways that we can make life better in Saskatchewan, and better for women in particular. For example, 27% of employed women work in precarious part-time employment, compared to only 10% of men. 27% of women. On average, over the course of the career of a working woman in Saskatchewan, you will earn only 56% of what the average man in that same position would make in that same amount of time. The problem is particularly stark when you start to consider those without post-secondary training. So if you know any women in your lives that don't have any post-secondary, perhaps consider this, that over the course of your career...
Yeah, the word empowering and solidarity and... I mean, if we had men there, I would have been fine with that. But are they, when they're talking about women's issues, I don't know if men would have felt uncomfortable. And we always do a skit at the end. And one of them that did women that are in men positions or male positions, like the ones that are the flag, you know, hold the flags, and they're in carpentry and they're, you know, I mean, those are mostly male, and have women in those, you know, they had a session on that. And so they did a skit about it, and it was hilarious. I don't know men would have appreciated that.
The Prairie School for Union Women, by being women only, provides women with a safe place for participation to take place, for their voices to be heard, for them to share with other women. And, you know, people talked about opening up. Cindy Hansen, I'm a professor of adult education at the University of Regina, a researcher with the Prairie School for Union Women, now on the second participatory action research project. And I think that's fundamental to say, because participatory action research is a different way of doing research, and it's a way in which university people can work with communities towards goals that are common. When you get a group of women together in a place where that they feel safe, and that's not my language, that comes from the participants over and over again, is how they felt safe in that space with other union women participating together. And I think that part is different from other labor schools. And it's a place where when they voice things, they feel that their voice is being heard. What we also found is that when people go back into their unions, that's where they feel like their voice, you know, sometimes is no longer heard. So people, we were really interested in seeing in the second study, we'll look at more at this, is how that transformation that takes place at the school can be sustained. Because what people said is they get back to the union and the old boys club closes them down again.
We as delegates agree that everyone here has equal value. Harassment divides the union. Racism, sexism, and other forms of harassment pit groups of workers against one another and divide unions. Division undermines our struggle for social and economic justice. Harassment hurts people. Racist, sexist, ethnic, and homophobic remarks and graffiti create unease and stress among people. Victims of the remarks never know what other forms of harassment this may lead to.
One of my favorite anecdotes about the school from a number of years ago is on the first afternoon evening, walking through the building and running into a woman who was a member of the union I worked for, a local president, and had come to the school for the first time. And she had this sort of bewildered look on her face. So I asked her, you know, how she was doing, and she said, "This is the first time in 16 years that I've been somewhere without my husband or a child. I'm here by myself. My time is my own. I've forgotten what that's like," right? And so she was just trying to come to terms with this little piece of freedom she had, even in terms of deciding, being the only one to get to decide what she was going to do with herself. That's a really special gift to be given, so that all you have to do in that time is pay attention to your own learning. I think for a lot of women with busy lives, that's a real, real special thing.
For many women, I think what they learn is that they have something to say, they have something to offer, they have a voice, and they learn how to use it. I think because of the approach that the Prairie School takes, the popular education model, all the participants participate and are encouraged to do so. And, you know, I mean, obviously not everybody participates equally, but for women who have difficulty with that, I mean, they're transformed literally by that experience, because it's such a safe environment.
When a joke is not a joke, racial, ethnic, sexist, and homophobic jokes originated in those times when groups of people were socially under attack and lacked the power to respond effectively. These jokes are a reminder of this history. They can create an environment where more serious forms of discrimination and abuse can happen. Equality and solidarity. We must all work together to advance the cause of working people.
I was facilitating the course I mentioned earlier with a woman named Cara Banks. Well-behaved women rarely make history. Ironically, we were set up at the U of R, University of Regina, at the same time that the Rough Riders training camp was there. So it was kind of strange. But anyway, in that course, there's a section where we ponder our history. And when I say our history, I mean our collective and social history. But also we encourage women to understand how they and their relatives, their female relatives, are part of the history. So we got women to think about, you know, a mother or a grandmother or whoever. It was the first time, and you could see this thing going off in people's heads, that it was the first time that many of the women in the course had seen themselves as part of a history and had seen their mothers as part of a struggle and or their grandmother or whoever. And so there, it was sort of cataclysmic, because there were a lot of tears and a lot of laughter, but it was kind of a magical moment, recognizing, locating yourself in sort of women's history. One of the benefits of having such an event is that it is a really powerful solidarity building exercise, and people make connections there that last, you know, for a lifetime. But the biggest connection, I think, is to the importance of solidarity. I mean, because the school is solidarity. That's what it does. I mean, when you bring people together in a residential setting, and I mean, what you're living solidarity there. So And having that as a base is terrifically important.
Hi, I'm Elisa Bus. I'm from Edmonton. What's your name?
Adrian.
Oh, where are you from? Oh, you're a facilitator.
Yes. And you are with?
Oh, from Alberta.
That's what I said. From Alberta.
Nice. Welcome to Saskatchewan.
Hi. Are you from Saskatchewan?
Yes.
It is, I think, an environment where you just don't have to deal with even the subconscious sort of sexual politics of being in a union event with men. And so it's things as crass as, doesn't matter that I'm wearing old sweatpants to class every day. Nobody's going to see me who's going to judge me in that way and think that I'm somehow less of a woman because I'm just wearing comfortable, old, ratty clothes. Through to things like there's on-site childcare. I know my kids are going to have a great time. In fact, they want to keep coming back year after year. So I've got that kind of comfort. I think, too, that people find that the classroom spaces with only women it's a comfortable place in which to share your own story, if that's what you feel compelled to do, if you need to do that. It's a comfortable place to ask questions. Those sorts of features make women feel extremely welcome. They can let down a lot of defenses and just learn and relax and connect with other trade unionists.
There was one story of a young woman that was told to me, and this young woman, you know, who talked about, you know, feminists have hairy arms, hairy legs, there was no damn way she was going to be a feminist, and she went to the school, and finally in the car riding home, you know, admitted that, you know, I think I'm a feminist. And so what, you know, because that was said to me so many times, I mean, I could pick the phrases that come out over and over again. And I think I'm a feminist is one. Another one is I felt so accepted and supported. And another one was it was a safe place. Safe to say what you wanted to say. Safe to disclose, if you will. People talked about, you know, disclosing incidents of, you know, violence or, you know, identity, you know, being a lesbian, whatever, you know, the fact that people would say they felt safe to do those things, I think that's huge. Quite often people were talking about attending the school was the catalyst for them to become involved in union leadership. One woman talked about how she later became, it was where she a place where she felt safe to be a lesbian woman. It later led to her being involved in both local union politics as well as the International Labor Organization. So it becomes the catalyst for people making changes on personal levels as well as wider political levels. We heard stories of women who, talked about finding voice at the school and, you know, they had never thought of being involved in unions. They were busy raising kids, working full-time, and the school becomes the impetus upon which they join, you know, leadership and political parties and run for political office. I have a personal friend who's, you know, I said I'm going to, you know, Congress in Vancouver or Victoria to talk about the Prairie School for Union Women, and she said, yeah, I attended that, and her partner piped up and said, yeah, that was when you attended that school, and you wouldn't even get me a beer after that. It's like, so, you know, it's sometimes it's really small, simple ways that the school, you know, changes women, but I think it provides a place where they're valued as women, you know, the different roles that women play in society. And, you know, and it becomes a place where they feel supported by other women so they can leave the school and go and you know, and talk about, you know, being involved in local politics, being involved in union politics. One woman talked about how, you know, how she feels like she knows so much more about social justice issues in general and, you know, what is good for the environment or what is good, you know, how we're connected in the world to the people around us. And I think that's what the Prairie School is doing. It's building a, you know, a whole nother level of awareness.
In terms of its sort of long-term effect on women, I think it's immeasurable, in fact, I would have to say, because so many women who have been at Prairie School, have participated in Prairie School, are sort of leaders in our movement now, in whatever capacity. I mean, whether it's within their own union or in community groups or whatever. So it's... I mean, I think that's an effect that's really hard to measure, but I think it's certainly fair to say that the effect of the school in helping women find their voice and helping women find their feet in terms of activism is it's beyond compare. I mean, it's just. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just immeasurable.
It's interesting to look back on it now from, you know, the safe vantage point of 16 or 17 years of success. But at the time, a large part of our discussions were about what can we do? How can we organize this school? How can we start it to bulletproof it from backlash from men? So we went about the organizing, assuming that we would get backlash.
Like, well, what sort of backlash? Like, why do you women need a school?
Yes, I think backlash against the women's only nature of the school. And so we were very, very careful, especially in the early years, around the funding of the school to make sure that we were always running in the black. That we never ran a deficit so that there would be no target to shoot at that way. We were very careful about the courses we chose. I mean, on the one hand, we wanted to offer courses that would develop women's leadership skills to support them becoming more active and more more powerful within their own union. So on the one hand, we had a very clear feminist trade union agenda. On the other hand, we didn't want to offer courses that were offered at the co-ed schools. We didn't want to offer steward training courses that so many other unions were offering on their own. So we were looking at ways of not making ourselves a target. I think either we were so successful that there was never very much backlash at all, because I certainly never noticed very much of it, or we were preparing for something that really wasn't out there that much anymore. You know, probably the worst thing that I've ever heard is the occasional comment about, well, how come there isn't a Prairie School for union men? And, you know, the typical answer is, if you'd like one, you should go ahead and organize one.
You've been listening to 12 Canadians, Building a Better World from the Inside Out. Learn more about the Prairie School for Union Women and subscribe to our podcasts at greenplanetmonitor.net. Huge thanks to the Social Justice Fund of the Canadian Auto Workers Union for their generous support. 12 Canadians is created by Earth Chronicle Productions, Winnipeg, Canada. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Bye for now.
Here's what one of our friends is saying about why you should support Rabble.
My name is Carol Hughes, Member of Parliament for Algoma, Manitoulin, Campus, Casing, and I support Rabble just because it's actually a great avenue for media, and it really tells it the way it should be told.
Join the club, donate to Rabble, rabble.ca/donate.